Jesus Christ is one person and he has two natures, all right? And I put it this way, is that he is one who, right? Now, what's the difference in the Trinity? The Trinity is three who's, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one what? God. But Jesus Christ is one who and two what's. He is one person. Jesus Christ is not a divine person and a human person. He's only one person. He's the second person of the Trinity. So he is one person who has two natures. He has a human and a divine nature.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Superhero or Superman, Jesus is the God-Man, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Superhero or Superman, Jesus is the God-Man.
We've been doing a series on Jesus Christ, and as Christians, we are coming up with the thesis that everybody ought to know who Jesus is, because there's a lot of people that don't know who Jesus is. So this morning we want to look at one aspect of Christ that many of us may have not considered before, and that is Jesus is the God-man. And as we think about that, was he a superhero or was he superhuman? Was Jesus Christ a superhero or was he superhuman? Was Jesus Christ superhuman or was he a superhero? If you go to the next slide, throughout the history of mankind, there have been individuals from a mythological standpoint that people said that they were God and man. For instance, there was one, Theseus, who it was said he was a son of God and a son of man. Actually, he had two human fathers, and his mother was said to be of a god. And so it was said that this mythological character, that he was a son of God and a son of man. And here goes this next one we have all seen at some point in time, and that was Hercules, who it was said of Hercules that he was half man and half God. We all, growing up, especially probably the men in here, you know, watched Hercules, and at many times, you know, we aspired to be Hercules, and at some times we thought we were Hercules. You know, we thought we were this half God, half man individual. So as we look at Jesus Christ and we talk about him being the God-man, there's a lot of confusion about it, because a lot of times we will look to cartoons and we will look to myths to try to iron out what all that means. But today we want to examine the truth about the God-man, Jesus Christ. Throughout history, scholars and Christians have tried to set straight who Jesus was. If you go to the next slide, there have been a group of people who were called the Ebionites, and they believed that Jesus Christ was a good man who was anointed to be the Messiah. They see him as a person who lived a perfectly good life, but he was still a man, and God just chose him to be the Messiah. God anointed him for that, but there was no deity in him at all. So they recognized the human side of Jesus. They recognized the fact that he was a man, but they totally exclude the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we need to get this as Christians, what I'm teaching this morning. This is seminary level stuff. that things that we learn in seminary that a lot of times the lay people are not privy to. So I'm sharing this with you to show you that it has been an issue and that we need to try, as Christians, understand the true nature of Jesus Christ. There was another group that tried to define who Christ was, and this group was called, or a doctrine called Doceticism. And basically, what they said, because they're trying to explain this dual nature of Jesus Christ, they said that Jesus was God. So they recognized the divine part of Christ. They recognized the divinity, but they said that he did not have a literal body. That he was like, again, let me refer back to a cartoon that maybe we watched growing up. This cartoon, it was called Space Ghost, right? Who was, this phantom that kind of went from throughout the universe and doing superhuman and superhero acts. And so actually what they say is that Jesus Christ just was like a phantom, that his body wasn't real. It just appeared so that people could see who he was, but he really didn't have a real body. And so here again, they would deny the humanity of Jesus Christ, and they would recognize the divinity. We see that throughout history, there have been other groups that have tried to define the nature of Jesus Christ. One of the big issues during the third century was Arianism. And what Arianism said, that Jesus was the firstborn of God the Father, but he was not equal to God. So in essence, what they say that he was a part of God, but he was not fully God. And we see today that the Jehovah's Witnesses pretty much have followed after the error of Arianism, because Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that Jesus Christ is not God, but he is a God. And they changed their Bible, the New World Translation. They changed it where it talks about Jesus Christ being God. They go back and change the verses to say that he was a God. And so this is another form of Arianism. Even though they may recognize some divinity in Jesus Christ, yet and still they deny the fact that he was divine as the Father is divine. So they would recognize his humanity. Moving on, other groups that have tried to explain the nature of Jesus Christ, we see there was a Nestorius. And what Nestorius said is that Jesus was either human or divine, but he could not be both at the same time. That either, when Jesus was doing miraculous things, that he was divine, but he wasn't human at that time. And then when we see Jesus thirsting and we see him hungering and we see him weeping, that he was actually human at that point and he was not divine. So Nestorius said that Jesus Christ could not be both human and divine at the same time. We see that there was another individual that promoted what he thought was the character of Christ. And, I tried to put these graphics together in a way that will help us understand, right? So what Eutychus, what he said is that the divine nature of Jesus Christ, because he was God, that you ever play that game Pac-Man? You remember, and it had the pellets, and Pac-Man would eat up the pellets. And so basically what Eutychus said is that the divine part of Christ ate up the human part, right? It swallowed up. Because if God became a part of humanity, that the deity, the divinity, would swallow up the humanity. And so they basically said that Jesus Christ had almost what was like a third nature. So, he wasn't human, he wasn't divine, but he had this third nature. So these have been some of the ways that people have tried to work this out. Right, so you can see this has been an issue, and that people throughout the history of time really don't know who Jesus Christ is. So this morning, we want to set the record straight. If you'll go to the next slide, we want to set the record straight about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is one person, and he has two natures, all right? And I put it this way, is that he is one who, right? Now, what's the difference in the Trinity? The Trinity is three who's, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one what? God. But Jesus Christ is one who and two what's. He is one person. Jesus Christ is not a divine person and a human person. He's only one person. He's the second person of the Trinity. So he is one person who has two natures. He has a human and a divine nature. And so let's make it even clearer, all right? As again, I say this because we as Christians need to understand this. You know, we sing songs about Christ. You know, we get up here and we sing about Jesus Christ, right? We sing that he's the Savior. We say that he means so much to me, that he's coming back again. We sing all those songs, but we really don't know who Jesus is. And so it's important that we understand who he is, that he is human and divine. Now, I put this here to help us understand even further, and that is these two distinct natures, 100% God and 100% man. He's not 50% God and 50% man. He's 100% God and 100% man. These two natures, watch this now. This is deep. See, I told you we're going to go deep this morning. Y'all learning seminary level stuff, right? This is stuff that we get in the dusty halls of the seminary. These two natures, this is deep. Oh, I love it. I love it. That they're joined together without diminishing the other. That when his divine nature and his human nature came together, neither one was diminished. Neither one was contaminated by the other, and they both blended together without blending into a third nature. See, there have been people throughout time that have said, well, he had a third nature. No, he was human and he was divine. And neither one diminished the other. Neither one contaminated the other. He, you know, if you would look at it this way, here Jesus Christ, he's been God throughout all eternity. He was God in eternity past. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 90? From everlasting to everlasting, somebody help me, thou art God. He's been God forever. So what did he do? He stepped out of eternity. He took upon human flesh. And when he took upon human flesh, the flesh that he took upon was not like you and I in the sense that we have a corrupted sin nature, okay? Jesus took on flesh like us. He had the same flesh that we had, but you know what? It was not tainted by sin. You know, we go back, we look at Adam, and when God created Adam, he created Adam in perfection. Adam had a perfect body, and then when Adam sinned, his body became cursed, and he had a sin nature. So I believe that when Jesus Christ took on human flesh, that he took on the pre-fall body of Adam, that he had a perfect body that was not tainted by sin. So that 100% God took on 100% body, humanity, that was not tainted by sin. So as we go on, we want to look at this fact and just break this down for a second, and then I want to share something with you that will help us on our Christian journey. And we see that this is what's known, if you'll go to the next slide, all right? And we have a deep word here, and you have it in your notes. This is what's known, I'm throwing out some big words now, all right? But I want you to stay with me, because I'm going somewhere. As the hypostatic union. This is what theologians call the hypostatic union. And what is that? It's the fact that God and man can live together in the same body. That's an unbelievable union. We can't explain it, But let's look at the scripture today, and we see, first of all, that Jesus Christ is fully God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus Christ, the Bible says two things here, that he was in the form of God. Everything that God is, Jesus Christ is. 100% God, that he was in the form of God. And notice what it says, that he thought it not robbery to claim equality with God. That when Jesus said, I and the Father are one, he didn't think that he was taking anything away from God. He didn't think that he was adding anything to himself. He said, I and the Father are one. Jesus Christ did not think that it was robbery to claim equality with God. So we have a lot of people today who try to tell us that Jesus Christ is not God. But the scripture says here that he is God. Look at Colossians. Go over one book, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in who? Jesus Christ, that should all fullness dwell. The fullness of what? Somebody might ask. You know, what are you talking about? Well, look at Colossians 2:9. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A body, a human body, and yet and still all the fullness of God dwells in that human body. And so we see that Jesus Christ is fully God. And then we look at other scriptures that tell us that he was a man. You'll notice that he got tired. He got hungry, he got thirsty, he got angry. And so we see that in his deity, he also had the attributes of humanity. Plain and simple, this is what's known, again, as the hypostatic union. The fact that God and man, that the human and the divine could live in one body. And then let me hit you up with one other term. Another big term, and it's in your notes, and that is, he is the theanthropic person. Oh, Pastor Glaze, you're throwing some big words on us today. All right, let's break it down. Let's break it down. All right, theos, what does that mean? God. Anthropos, man. Y'all got it, right? Theanthropic. All right, God. Man, that Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's not God, he's not a man, but Jesus Christ is the God-man. And the scripture lets us know that, see, and this is why when we look at God, people say, well, when I get to heaven, well, I see God. Well, you might see a manifestation of God, all right? But you won't see God, because the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth. So you're not going to see God because he's a spirit. Like I said, you might see a manifestation of God, but you will see Jesus Christ. Why? Watch this. Because Jesus Christ is the God-man. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, let's look at that. Hebrews 7 and verse 24, talking about Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 24, but this who? I didn't hear you. This who? This man, because he continues how long? Forever. This man does what? He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. So Jesus Christ will forever be the God-man. Throughout eternity, he will be the God-man. So when we get to heaven, there's a whole lot of people that we're going to look for. I'm going to look for my mother and father when I get there. You know, I want to see them. I want to see L.C. Greenwood when I get to heaven. And the reason I want to see L.C. because I got a question for him. I want to ask him what he meant by the word jackleg. So I'm going to look him up. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look L.C. up. And I'm going to say, hey, now, because I looked up that word jackleg, you know, and it meant, you know, somebody who was a novice, who is inexperienced, and someone who is who lacks training. And then it said, this term is especially used of lawyers and preachers. So I'm gonna look L.C. up because I wanna find out what he meant by that term jackleg. But one person that is gonna be first on my list, the first person that I wanna see Jesus. And I have the promise that I will see Jesus because he is the God-man forever. And we'll forever have that reminder that it was God who came and died on a cross for our sins that we might have eternal life. And as I used to hear the old preachers say that he will forever bear those marks in his body as a reminder to us of what he has done for us. And so this God-man. So now, during this series, I've been doing what I call the so what. The so what factor. You know, God is man. It's good to know that, Pastor Glaze. So what? I mean, what does that mean to me right now? What does that mean to my life? You know, the fact that you stand up there and you broke it down theologically, you showed me throughout history how the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ, they have tried to explain it. You have taught me about the hypostatic union. You have taught me about the theanthropic person. You know, the hypostatic union is the fact that God and man would come together. The theanthropic person is the fact that, you know, he is this one, this God-man. You have taught me all that. I understand that. But what does that mean to me? Two things it means. First, it means that your salvation was made possible by the hypostatic union. So you might not have understood that big word, and you might not have ever heard it before, but had it not been for the hypostatic union, you could not be saved. And I'm going to show you how. We see that in the Old Testament, in order for sins to be forgiven, a sacrifice had to be offered. Now, I'm talking, this is according to God's economy. You know, I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witness economy, Muslim economy, Mormon. I'm talking about according to God's economy. In order for sin to be forgiven, blood had to be shed. Now, this blood that was shed could not be with spot or with blemish. It had to be, when they offered the lamb, it had to be a pure lamb that was untainted and undefiled. Okay, if they brought, you remember Malachi, he condemned the people. He said that you say that you love me and that you worship me and you bring into the temple.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Superhero or Superman, Jesus is the God-man. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Superhero or Superman, Jesus is the God-man, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Superhero or Superman, Jesus is the God-man. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Superhero or Superman, Jesus is the God-man, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.